Okay, I just asked you on the other side if you had thought long about taking a job, and you said not long at all. Uh-uh. And then I'd asked you how it was promoted, and you'd said as a chance to earn some income, and that for the women who did have children, was an offer made for child care, or did they?
No, but in Navy housing, they had a nursery. A Navy nursery for children, a Navy children's nursery.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, with everybody, it was income, and then also something to do to fill in that horrible gap, knowing that a husband was not going to come home. I don't know of one woman that didn't go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not sure how many stayed with the job or how long they worked at Lockheed.
Mm-hmm.
But they definitely went, and of course, the money was maybe 95 cents an hour, which of course in those days with no income tax,
mm-hmm.
it was considered very, very good.
Mm-hmm. At the time, did anyone feel that they were sort of being used as a promotional thing for Lockheed? I mean, was Lockheed using it as a publicity?
Well, and maybe they wanted to show their generosity towards the military widows. I really am not sure.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been a gimmick. It could have been an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, chances are it was an experiment to see how women would adapt to defense work, because
mm-hmm.
It's possible that there was a shortage, mm-hmm. or they could see a shortage of personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, when we started, we carpooled. Margaret, who had taken me to Canada, still had her car, and probably there were five or six women, and we started out on the day shift. And
now, when you went in and took a test,
mm-hmm.
and did they tell you right then that you were hired, or was there...
No, the chaplain told us.
Uh-huh.
You know, that you ladies will start working now such and such a day. And they wanted to see if we could get to work.
Mm-hmm.
That was a 16-mile drive each way.
Mm-hmm.
And then they probably arranged for child care.
Mm-hmm.
And made the Navy just did everything they could for the women, just within their power.
Did anyone talk to you about wearing special clothing or anything like that?
Oh, yes, our hair. You see, I had long hair,
mm-hmm.
so I'd wear a hairnet. We wore pants.
And this is from the very beginning?
From the very beginning, oh, yes. And then, and sensible shoes,
mm-hmm.
because we'd be standing on cement floors. And, and of course, it was a brand new ball game for every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the men, I would say, on the other hand, working in the plant, were very curious about us.
Mm-hmm.
They were, I think they were in a state of mild shock themselves that women would be working with them. It was a great big barn of a building.
Between the time when you took that test, you didn't take the test at the plant, or did you
left to the main plant in Burbank.
Uh-huh. Did anyone give you a tour or show you around or give you any idea of what you would be doing?
I don't remember. Maybe other women in the group understood. I don't think I was, to be perfectly honest, I don't think I was that curious.
Mm-hmm. Did they tell you what kind of work you would be doing?
Oh, yes, we'd be riveting.
Uh-huh. So yeah. You knew it was going to be riveting.
Oh, yes.
Did people have a sense of what riveting was, or did anyone?
No.
What were your expectations? Do you remember?
No, because as I say, I'm kind of an acceptor, and I guess in a way, maybe I don't query enough.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I personally was concerned, we went into the plant, we were shown where the time clocks were,
mm-hmm.
and then assigned to a section, introduced to a lead man, and then turned over to him.
And who was doing the other part of that? Was that, the person who showed you the time clock and... all of that? Was that
a... probably it was a male employee of some kind, maybe somebody from the office there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say one thing, that there was one woman, and I don't remember her last name. Her first name was Rose. And she was sort of I think I would term her as a coordinator of women employees. And I'm sure that she probably was brought into the plant to deal with we ladies and future feminine employees who would be coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't long after we started driving that Margaret, our driver, we found out, was beginning to drink. And sometimes, and she just turned out not to be the most dependable person for transportation. So I finally thought, well, maybe it'd be a good idea if I bought a car.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could take some of the girls and we could carpool. So in those days, we had, of course, the rationing. We had C rations for gasoline and for tires, bicycles. And then by special dispensation, what I call the Pope, actually it was a board of several men.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very, and chances are it was at the plant that I submitted my application for a car.
Mm-hmm.
And the men, the reply, it was denied on the basis that my work was not considered essential to industry. And so I was very upset, just madder than hell.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into Rose and told her, and her reaction was violent. And the next day I came back, I had my approval for the car.
So she was sort of like a woman's counselor?
A coordinator between the plant and the women.
Mm-hmm.
But, and they made the one comment that our work was not essential, and that's what did it.
That's what made her angry.
So I had my car probably within a week, and I was driving to and from the plant.
If you can remember going back to that first day when you were working, do you remember how that day went, like getting up to go to work, or how?
Well,
maybe you could, what I... like you to try and do is just to describe that day to me from as much as you can remember, even from like driving up or...
No, I don't remember that, but I can tell you other things.
Okay.
I worked 6 months on the day shift.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was placed on swing shift. That was 4 until midnight. And then I was placed on graveyard shift. And that was from probably 11 o'clock at night till 7 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And when we drove from Long Beach to Maywood, we went north on American Avenue, and so we faced, in other words, we faced all of the streetlights, and the lights were all painted black on the ocean side,
mm-hmm.
so that no light showed in Long Beach for aircraft traffic. When you drove the dim lights on,
mm-hmm.
and then when you came back from the plant to Long Beach, if it was at night, then you could see all the lights because that was away from the ocean. So you drive right into lights. But when you drove away from the ocean and went north, it was just dark.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, I worked 6 months on the graveyard shift. And not once, no, one day was I able to sleep days. It was just murder trying for me to try to readjust my sleeping time. Where I would come home, we'll say I ride home at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I might have breakfast on the way home. And then after about an hour, get undressed and go to bed in bright daylight, mm-hmm. and then try to sleep. It was always broken sleep. I was just miserable the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had worked there in the plant about, it was the episode of the car. No, it was later than that. It was about when I went on the graveyard shift. Through Rose, I was offered a job in the office,
mm-hmm.
and this office dispensed C coupons, ration books, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was a cold, barn-like room, and there was some sort of a heater in there, and I was all by myself, and I was so sleepy, I could hardly stand it. But then I had two breaks when I opened the windows, and then the employees came to the window to either submit their requests for rationing, or I would dispense coupons. And it always amazed me that when people left the plant, either as termination or some of the men went into the service or for other reasons they left, invariably they returned the balance of their rationing books for gasoline. They didn't keep them. And my instructions were to tear them up and just throw them in a wastebasket. There was no accounting. But that was the degree of feeling that the people had for our military and for the whole war effort.
Mm-hmm. Why were you supposed to tear them up?
Because they were assigned to that person by a number, and so it was of no value anymore.
I see. When you first went into the job, who trained you? I mean, you mentioned you came in. Do you remember, like, what, on the first day walking into the factory, what it looked like?
Well, chances are we first of all, we went into an office.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talked to, and we were the very first women. There were no other women in the plant except
mm-hmm.
Rose. Mm-hmm. It was a complete...
So she was already there.
She was there.
Mm-hmm.
And she was probably her office had been set up and so on to mm-hmm. receive we women. And it very well could have been, Rose did not greet us. It was a man, probably a plant manager, maybe somebody from Burbank who came down in an official capacity to greet us
mm-hmm.
and so on. And then we were assigned by name to certain sections.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a lead man that worked, that was our supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And we had definite rest periods. I remember the restrooms were upstairs. We had to climb a kind of a steel stairway up to kind of like on a balcony. And they'd set up a restroom especially for the ladies. And we had probably a couple of studio couches and a place to stretch out and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And we ate our... And during our lunch break, there were these trucks, very much the same as on the campus, and they had different varieties of food. I doubt if any of us really carried lunch.
Mm-hmm.
We bought them there on the property. And the women ate always. We always ate in our own little group. We didn't mix with the men at all.
So when you came in there on that first day, did you get a lot of stares from people?
Oh, yes, the men.
Uh-huh.
We were just an absolute object of curiosity.
Did you feel any hostility from them?
No. Oh, no, not that. Curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they felt we'd never make it. We'd never last. We'd never learn the work that they had to do.
Did they sort of say that to you? Or, I mean,
no, you could just sense it.
Mm-hmm.
And they let us strictly alone for a while. They just, it was a long, well, not, it was, they finally did accept us. And but you must remember, this was the very first time in this area that women worked.
Mm-hmm.
In the aircraft industry, which was dominated by men.
Mm-hmm.
And there were just a handful of we women. There weren't that many.
Were you kept together?
Well, we each had to go into our own section, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in my section, maybe there were three of we women.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say maybe 25 to 28 men. And we were assigned our job. The lead man showed us how to do the riveting. And probably there was a practice piece of metal that we worked on. And we worked on P-41s. They were a very fast, maneuverable type of plane. And we worked on the wing sections.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to... And then I can remember there were certain parts of the plane where we had to go up into the plane itself and do some work up there. And then our work was had to be passed by the lead man. He inspected it.
Had you done any mechanical work before this?
No.
How did you feel about working with the...
Well, I was barely 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't feel I was particularly adventurous, but of course, after all, it was a man that was showing me, and he surely knew. I had absolute faith that I was being taught well.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know how he felt about it. It was also new for me that I was just an absolute, like, Alice in Wonderland. Couldn't believe it was happening.
Did you have a sense, I mean, was this your first time being in a factory? Or?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, sure.
What was it like inside. You'd said
cold,
that it was cold.
Barn-like, doors open, wind coming through.
Mm-hmm.
This was in February.
Yeah.
And so it was cold, it was chilly.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the work was very absorbing, it was very new. Our lives had all changed, just 180 degrees, just had switched around from being at home, and I don't know what anybody felt their prospects were or what they would be doing. I really had no idea. And in my own case, of course, I was hearing from my family,
mm-hmm.
but this was an absolute turnaround in my way of life. And of course, it's always been like that. From then on, that just started the whole trend of my life.
So it was a big, I mean, did you sense that you would, when you went in there, you had no expectations in terms of what the inside of a factory would be like?
No,
or anything like that? Did you feel free to ask questions?
Yes, the lead man was very, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
He had a brother who was in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And his brother had a wife and children here in the Los Angeles area. So he had a lot of empathy
mm-hmm.
for we women. That's mm-hmm. one thing. I can't remember his name, but he was very nice and very sympathetic
mm-hmm.
and a gentleman. Some of the girls, their lead men, were not that nice, not that sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the women went in, I don't know why, but they almost had like chips on their shoulders
mm-hmm.
and didn't accept counseling from the men as well, perhaps, as I did.
Mm-hmm. When you went in to do the work the first time, do you remember how large the rivet gun was? I mean, was it did it seem to you a big?
No, it wasn't. It was easily handled.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I remember, I could handle it quite comfortably. I held it with one hand, controlled its action with the other,
mm-hmm.
and I had to wear goggles. And of course, my hair had to be well confined,
mm-hmm.
and I found it to be interesting. And of course, underneath, I'm sure with all of us, there was that feeling we were helping in the war effort.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very patriotic feeling. Besides earning the income,
mm-hmm.
we were doing something that had some va-